Hi there, James Wedmore here. I'm host of the Mind Your Business podcast and founder of the Rapid Growth System for online experts looking to scale their business, Business by Design. And if you don't know me, I've actually been running an online business for the past 15 years now, and I primarily do that with digital products. And I don't think I need to tell you that digital products are hands down the most profitable and fulfilling business model that exists online. Think about it. What else allows you to take your genius, your wisdom, your expertise, and package it in a way that you build it once and continue to get it into the hands of thousands, reach people all over the world, and start getting paid to make a difference? That's what I've done. And chances are, if you're listening to this, that's what you want to be doing as well. But let's face it, it's hard. Is super overwhelming. And everyone seems to be teaching that one thing. Like, you have to be doing this to be successful, or this is the answer to get more customers, or this is the platform or tool you need to be on in order to reach more people. But the problem is, business is not whittled down to just one thing. And until you take a holistic approach to running your business, chances are you'll be missing more than one thing. And that's where I come in. This June, I am hosting the first of three live training workshops called The Rise of the Digital CEO. In this training, you're going to walk through and see behind the curtain of my eight-figure digital product-based business so you can see the exact five gears that run my entire business. Whether you're just starting out, or you're struggling to sell your course, or you're ready to scale it and take to the next level, you're going to see what today's most successful digital CEOs are doing differently to attract more clients and customers and sell more of their digital products. To step into the role that your business needs, head on over to businessbydesign.net/rise.
Welcome back to the Ambitious Bookkeeper podcast. This is another mini-sode, and today I'm going to be talking about sales tax automation for e-commerce businesses. You're listening to a bonus mini-sode on the Ambitious Bookkeeper podcast. I have an audience question. One of my fellow bookkeepers has taken a lot of my courses, including the sales tax and e-commerce courses, and I will link to those below or in the show notes. She says, I'm working with more e-commerce clients and have had a few questions. I was curious if you had a sales tax tracking and filing software preference or recommendation, and do you mainly use Avalara, TaxJar, Quaderno, or another, or some combination of these? Do you automate the filings with any of those, or do you use them for tracking and then file the returns yourself? And do you do the state registrations yourself? I have a client that is hitting thresholds in multiple states. Many of them are streamlined sales tax states, which I'll get to in a moment. And I want to get the system set up well from the beginning. Thank you for all that you do and any guidance you can provide. Well, thank you so much for submitting your question. This is a really good one. I get a lot of questions about sales tax and e-commerce. So let's jump in. Your first question was, do I have a sales tax tracking and filing software preference or recommendation? And the answer is yes. For our clients, we use TaxJar, and that is mainly because most of our clients that are on e-commerce are also on Shopify, and we are able to integrate TaxJar with Shopify so things are calculated correctly. It also is important to understand what level of Shopify your clients are on so that you can make sure all the settings in the tax settings are set up correctly, and also that things are being pushed over to TaxJar as well. So it depends on the level of Shopify they're on, whether it's actually directly integrated with TaxJar and TaxJar is calculating the sales tax in the shop at the checkout, or if you are setting up the tax rates in Shopify and then that information is being pushed over to TaxJar and then filed. So it's important for you to understand your specific workflows with your clients. They all might be a little bit different, but what we do is we set up our clients on TaxJar. Most of our clients are on a version of Shopify where we actually have to go into the tax settings and set up anytime they hit a threshold in a certain jurisdiction. We have to turn that on for collecting sales tax and all that good stuff. And then it pushes everything. It's integrated with TaxJar. So the information is sent over to TaxJar, and we try to make sure that every state is set up on autofile within TaxJar. So we will actually, to answer one of your other questions, we actually set up the sales tax registrations for our clients. We don't pay for someone else to do it or anything. We handle it ourselves. That way we have control of all the logins and all the setups. And we share the login information with clients. Every state is a little bit different. Some states allow you to have an accountant login. Some states don't. So we just try to keep really good track of all the logins. We use 1Password for that. And we share all of the information with our clients so that they have access to those things. And if we ever part ways, a couple of our clients, we will have to go into the state websites and change login information, or at least share it with the client and let them change it. That might be a little bit of work to do, but that is how we do handle that. We handle the registrations ourselves. I will say, a couple years ago, actually it's probably been like 3 or 4 years by now, we brought on an e-commerce client that we still have, and we had done a big sales tax analysis for them, and they had already hit thresholds in multiple states. I want to say maybe 8 states by that time, and hadn't set up sales tax yet. So what we did is, for the states that were part of the streamlined sales tax thing, I don't know what to call that, we did use that to set up those states. And then each other individual state that wasn't part of the streamlined sales tax thing, we actually set up manually. However, the streamlined sales tax website is a little clunky, and what ended up happening is half of the states that we tried to set up through that never actually went through, and so we had to go back to those states and manually set them up ourselves months later when we were just waiting for them to be set up. And so I would actually recommend not using the streamlined sales tax website to do those setups. I would just go directly to each individual state, because what happens is, even the ones that were able to be set up, they each state handles things differently. Some states send you a letter in the mail, so that letter would go to the client, and then we didn't find out about it. So then we had to contact the state and get a new one sent. And then some of the states, you still have to go set up a login with that state outside of the streamlined sales tax system. And so when you put in that effort, it's like, I may as well have just set up the sales tax on my own directly with the state. So that would be my recommendation on that. Don't try to use the streamlined sales tax system. For some reason, we were just not successful with it. I would just go directly to each state individually, and then you know exactly, you have the confirmation that it has been set up, and you have the login right away, and you can manage all of that yourself. That is my recommendation. The last question you have in here is, do you automate the filings with any of those, or do you use them for tracking and then file the returns yourself? So like I said before, we try to set up every state on autofile with TaxJar. It does cost extra money. It is worth the extra money to not have to do the filing yourself. But one thing I will say is, occasionally you might run into issues with setting up the autofile. I do have one state on that one big e-commerce client that we have where it is a monthly item for me to go in, run the TaxJar report, and then go to the state website and file and pay it. But it takes like 15 minutes. So not a huge deal. I wouldn't want to do that for all the states. Since it's one state, it's not a big deal. But the other piece of that that I will say is, it is really important for you to have a quarterly process where you go in to the balance sheet and you reconcile the sales tax liability account, because you can't really do this monthly because some states are going to be on a quarterly filing frequency. So I recommend doing this at the end of each quarter, where you look at all of the payments that came out for that quarter end, whether it's a monthly payment or a quarter payment, and reconcile it to what that quarter end balance is in the sales tax liability account, because it's never going to be exact and you need to make adjustments. So say you have 5 states that you are filing in. Maybe 2 of them are monthly filing and 3 of them are quarterly filings. So at the end of Q1, or we're at the end of the year, so we're just going to say in January, we're going to look at the balance as of December 31st. We're going to after TaxJar has filed all of the filings for Q4, we're going to pull all of those reports from TaxJar of all the filings that they made and what they remitted to the states. We are going to add all of those up, and then we're going to look at the sales tax liability account in Xero or QuickBooks or whatever software you're using with that client, and there's going to be a difference. 100% across the board, there's always going to be a difference, because sometimes TaxJar collects something different than, or says you needed to collect something different, and they remit something different than what was actually collected and booked onto your GL. And this is also where you're going to find breaks in your workflow or integrations. And so it's really important to do this level of work. So you're going to look at the sales tax liability balance at the end of the year. You're going to see maybe on the GL in Xero or in QuickBooks, it's $1,500. But all of the payments that were remitted to the states for the end of the year for December amount to $1,600. So you've actually remitted more than what was on the books. So you're going to adjust the balance sheet and book the difference to an expense account. And so we have created a sales tax expense account for our client because that's the difference. And then if it's a large difference, we have set up a threshold internally for this client where if it's under $100 difference for the quarter end or whatever you decide it is, we don't dig into it. We just adjust it to the expense. If there's a large difference every time, and it wasn't like you set up a new state and you had some back taxes to pay or anything like that, then you need to look at your systems and make sure that something's not broken and that your Shopify or wherever you're collecting the sales tax on the front end is actually calculating appropriately. And so that's what reconciling that account will help you do. So we kind of went into a sales tax lesson here, but I hope this was helpful. If you have any questions, we actually have something that you can record your own question for the podcast and have it answered either in a mini-sode or on a regular podcast if it ends up as a longer episode. If you go to speakpipe.com/ambitiousbookkeeper, you can record your own question and I will answer it on air for you. I hope that you found this episode helpful. I will link to resources in the show notes or below where you're watching this video if you're watching it on YouTube. And if you're not watching this on YouTube, go over to YouTube and subscribe and you'll get these minisodes in your YouTube platform. Talk to you soon. Thank you to everyone who helps make this podcast possible. Content and interviews are produced by me, Serena Shu. Our intro and outro music is written and performed by my brother, Ian Gilliam. Editing is also by Ian, using his awesome sound engineering skills along with Descript software. Hosting and publishing is by Buzzsprout. And you can check out the show notes for links to all of these amazing resources and resources mentioned in the episode.
Be ambitious.